Again, I'm glad you all made it here. Just know we're going to be patient. It's going to take about 2 years for the freeway there. So don't feel embarrassed or ashamed if you're coming in late. We're just glad you're here, huh? And you can re-listen to the homily in case you're late for the homily on TV, okay? We're glad that you're here today. You know, in the seminary, we learn about book knowledge. I've told you that many times. But the real learning comes from parents for me. I've learned so much about God and how God works in people through learning, through my own parents and all the parents I've experienced in my life. Some of the things about parents is that they can love people more than themselves. That's a gift. Not everybody can do that. So when you fly on airplanes, what do they say about the masks that come down? What do they tell parents, huh? What? Breathe in yourself first and then your child. Why do they have to tell parents that? Because I think sometimes parents can love their children with all their hearts. They think they sacrifice. They give of themselves on that. I don't know about for me. If it came down, I'm first. Huh? Everybody will be late in terms of the human condition. And yet, parents can do that. Parents can also be where I visit with them and the kids are playing outside or in the next room and we're having a great conversation, and then all of a sudden in the middle of our conversation they sit up and run like the speed of light. Why did you go? I heard a noise that I didn't like. Huh? And sure enough, they know something about their children. They fell or they hurt themselves. They just love and they sacrifice. Sometimes for parents, they can love their spouse, their children, family members, or anyone can love someone when they're going through illness. Nothing worse than having a child being ill and the parents just holding on to them saying, God, why did you send it to them? Why not me? I can handle that. It should have been me. This child is innocent and shouldn't happen. And somehow they want to absorb the pain, the suffering that their loved one goes through. And that's the essence of the theology of John's gospel today. John, and one of the first lines in today's gospel, puts the whole Christian faith in one sentence. The whole Christian creed hangs on this one phrase. Look, there's the Lamb of God. Yeah, that's everything about what we believe as Christians. When John in the gospel talks about the Lamb, he's reminding us of the Passover for the Jews and that meal. So they sacrifice the Lamb. The Lamb is sacrificed in relationship with God and sealing the covenant, just like the Lamb Jesus, who is sacrificed on the cross and sheds his blood. The Lamb is eaten at the meal, at the sacred meal that recalls all that God does and is for us. And we too, as Christians, take the body and blood of Christ and we eat the Lamb every time we gather together. For Christians, the title Lamb of God means dead and risen Savior. Dead and risen Savior. The whole Paschal mystery, which means Passover. And in that, all debt to God for our sin is removed. All debt is removed. That's what it means to be the Lamb of God, that He absorbs our failings, our weaknesses, and all the things that you and I struggle with, and He becomes the Lamb for us and takes our place in us. So what does that mean for us as everyday Christians? What can we get like, so what? He's the Lamb of God. What are we to learn? Well, here's the thing is, as human beings, you and I love to judge people by their sins. And sometimes we never forget. Ever read obituaries? I kind of have to do that for a living because I do funerals for a living. I didn't know if you knew that. And every time you read an obituary, if it's public and they know about the scandal of the person, they'll say it. This person died, but everyone remembers he stole millions of dollars. This person died, but he did bad and horrible things to people. This person died, and yet everyone in the neighborhood is glad he's gone. You know, sometimes as human beings, we define and judge other people by their sins, and we never forget. And to be redeemed means that we, by God, are no longer defined by sin. Even in other human beings do that. Even if family members struggle with that with us and won't let us forget the mistakes or failings that we've done in our lives, God releases us from that so that when you and I face them face to face on that final day, it won't be, there's Larry the liar, Tammy the stealer, huh? The person who is dishonest. God doesn't use those labels, and that's a freedom that God gives. Now, for some Catholics, that doesn't mean much to them because they feel they have nothing really to forgive. They don't think they've done anything wrong. The theology for some Catholics is this in morality: I haven't killed anyone. What more do you want? That's kind of where they're at. And that's why they never understand what real forgiveness is, because it's just about not breaking laws or following the rules. And I don't think I've done really anything bad. In other words, I can justify what I've done, but I really don't need the forgiveness of God. I just haven't killed anyone, so we're all set. Yet sometimes you and I, at some point in our life, whether it's now or in the past or definitely for all of us in the future, we're going to have sins that we're carrying around with us that we need to be freed from. Even when family members and friends don't let us forget, God releases that. And what he does as the Lamb is he absorbs that. He takes in our pain, just like a parent. God, give me that illness instead of my child. Quit making my child suffer, or my loved one, my spouse, the person I really love. Stop it, because I'll absorb it. And many times you do, because you journey with those who hurt in any way. And that's who Jesus is. Freedom not to do what we want then and saying, great, we're forgiven. There's no consequences. And it just means that I'm free and I can forget about all my sins and do whatever I want. No. A freedom to love God and neighbor without carrying that burden or sin. All of you are lambs, and all of you have the ability to absorb people's faults and failings and sin. And that's what God is asking us to do in today's gospel, to be like lambs and be able to absorb, just like the Lamb of God does for us. How about absorbing the misunderstandings that happen in relationships? That happens to every one of us here. And more so, we're more aware of it now than ever. Misunderstandings where we get angry, we demonize, we tell our family members we're no longer talking to you because you vote, you believe, you decide this, or you're not agreeing with me. I had breakfast yesterday with a person I worked with at St. Maria Goretti, my first parish. And she works in a position where she deals with a lot of people in her own family. And she says more than ever today, she sees so many broken relationships through Facebook, through social media, and life. People don't talk to one another now. You know why? Because you voted wrong. Because you're not morally standing up for things that I think you should. And you disagreed with me. And you don't see the way. How can you be that way and call yourself that when you don't agree with me? Sometimes we have to absorb those misunderstandings. Otherwise, we perpetuate pain and suffering on people. I want to tell you something, people. If you're falling asleep, at least listen to this. There's no special place in heaven for you to give silent treatment to people you don't like or disagree with. The Lord will not call you and say, thank you for unfriending all those people who voted for that bad person. Thank you for doing, you know, being that example of giving people the silent treatment. And thank you for pointing out evil people by calling them out in public and hating them. You know what? Thank you, because I was too lazy to do it. I was too busy. You think that's what God wants? And yet you and I live that way, like we're morally superior than everyone. And we don't care who we hurt. And you know what? We're going to see how silly that is one day, how we gave people the silent treatment or argued or did anything that wounded people because they don't agree, because our feelings get hurt. That sometimes we have to absorb it. Doesn't mean we're all going to, it's all going to be perfect and all, but sometimes the absorbing is looking past the pain. Sometimes that absorbing is saying, you know what, I want to yell at you, but I'm not going to do that. How about disagreements? How about disagreements? Sometimes we have to absorb that. Now, we don't do it unhealthy by stuffing it and going, I can never be anything bad or never be angry. No, you've got to look for situations where you really feel that you can absorb it. How about family members or friends who act out and you don't know why they do? And they don't tell you why, and sometimes they don't, but they act out in ways that are disrespectful and mean, and they embarrass themselves. Some of them are called teenagers. But some of them are also adults. See, I work with teens. I coach them, so I know how they are, all right? But sometimes, you know what? We don't understand why people behave, because they may have serious issues going on that they themselves don't know, or their bodies are changing and all. And it really requires a lot of absorbing. I think a lot of parents do that. When your teens think you're an idiot, and you probably are, but you still absorb it, huh? You still take that in, because my dad, I called him that all the time, and then I find out he knew a lot, and he knows a lot. And sometimes it just means an absorbing of saying, I wish you wouldn't act that way, but I'm going to absorb it because not everything is worth dying on the hill for. How about people who act out in front of service people? I was a busboy for five, six summers in Flagstaff. So I know the service industry, and I worked in it, and I always talk to those people, and they tell me stories of how people act out, and it's embarrassing. And so thinking that we have the right to be upset and angry at the other person, even when they messed up, even when they made a mistake, we have to absorb that. I'm going to share something with you. My sister runs a restaurant up in Flag. And I've talked to many people in the restaurant business because I have many friends in that field and I have an interest in the hospitality industry. And I would tell you this, and this is very shameful. They say to me, and this is what they tell me, Christians after church are the worst customers. Yeah. They all say that. That somehow we act one way in church, and then when service people are there, they don't like us, and then you wonder why people leave church. Oh, it's the priest's problem. Probably not, always. Sometimes it's our behavior. And if people in the restaurant business are telling me they don't enjoy serving Christians after church, we've got to look in the mirror and learn how to better absorb disagreement, anger, not understanding where people are coming from. Because you parents taught how you can do that. I don't know if I can ever love another person more than me. I don't know. But I see a lot of parents doing that, that they love another person more than themselves. And they'll go through a lot for them because they're great lambs of God, even when our family members don't appreciate it or understand it. You do great. But we all have to be better lambs. Who this week can you absorb? Any misunderstanding, disagreement, acting out, being upset? Behold, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I think we can do the same thing, fellow lambs.